complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help this evening. Wish to direct your very prayerful attention to the book of Daniel and that chapter that we read, chapter 9. By way of text, wish to consider most particularly verse 24, but verses 24, 25, 26 and 27. We can really only scratch the surface this evening. But 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the Prince that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now here in Daniel chapter 9, we have perhaps one of the most misunderstood chapters, certainly of the Old Testament, but probably of the Holy Scriptures. We must always remember, and we need to keep coming back to this, that there is one purpose to Holy Scripture, an overriding purpose, I should say. There is the one message of the Holy Scripture, which reveals the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the book of Daniel is no exception to this. Now, by way of context, we are reading here in the first year of Darius. That word, that name Darius, means Lord, but it means Lord with a small L. He was a ruler of the Medes. Now, during this time, Daniel had been promoted to a very high civil and political office. We are talking now around about the age of 538 BC. Now, although only this first year of his reign is mentioned in the scripture, it was very much significant. Daniel was very concerned for his people. He felt the burden of the position that he had been promoted to. And you know, this chapter is an experiential chapter, because we have to remember that Daniel was a part of that great church, the Israel of old. There are those, of course, who say there was no church in the Old Testament, but they're totally wrong. Daniel knew his God. And he knew the condition of his own heart. And what did he say? In verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Daniel knew the weight of the guilt that was upon Israel. Verse 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. Confusion of face. When men and women sin, in open sin against God, they don't prosper. Sometimes they think they do, but they don't. Just look around you, outside. Just go down Shearer Road or into a commercial road, into the city. People think that they're prospering in some respects. They think that they're more enlightened. Israel thought the same, but they weren't. But you see, Daniel was speaking here as one who knew. He knew the condition that Israel had been brought to, and he knew the state of his own heart. A Christian will say and will speak the words in his own soul that Daniel is speaking here. And so he prays this prayer. So that's the context. But here he is visited by Gabriel. He is visited by the angel. Now, to my knowledge, and you're free to correct me at the end if I'm wrong, but there are only two angels mentioned by name in the scripture. That is Michael and Gabriel. I believe I'm correct there. And Daniel speaks of this visitation from the angel. "70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city." And there are six things here mentioned, and these six things are specific in relation to the Messiah. The Messiah would accomplish and has accomplished these six things. People tell you that some of these are in the future. They're not. They are all fulfilled. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. All of these things were prophesied that the Lord Jesus, in his first advent, would come to the earth and would fulfill every one of these things. And they are fulfilled. All of them. This here speaks of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. To finish the transgression. Well, people say this is yet to come. Men and women still sin. Yes, they do. But let me ask you the question, who is reigning? I meet people all the time, I'm sure you do as well. And they believe, they really believe, that the devil is in control. As I mentioned, on the Lord's Day until the so-called millennium. This is what they believe. But friends, this is not the case, is it? Because when the Lord Jesus said upon the cross, "It is finished," it was finished. It was finished. He made to finish the transgression. That is the damning power of the transgression. This prophecy, like all prophecies of the scripture, must be considered spiritually. They must be. Yes, the angel Gabriel visited Daniel. Yes, he spoke these things. But what was he speaking to him? It's the same, you know, when the Lord visited John on the Isle of Patmos. He signified these things. Signs. He spoke in signs. They mean something. Of course they do. But this was the way that the Lord was to speak. To finish the transgression. No more damning power for sin. This was the Messiah that was to accomplish this. What tremendous insight Daniel had. What a mighty vision he saw to finish transgression. You see, the things that he spoke of earlier affected him. They exercised his mind and his heart. And this is what the Lord Jesus does in a poor sinner's heart to finish the transgression, the damning power, and to make an end of sins. Now, this is not the millennium, to make an end of sins. This is not speaking of a future state. This is speaking of to make an end of the debt that God's people owe. A tremendous debt. Do you ever consider? It's a solemn thing, really. But do we ever consider? Day after day we rise and we go to our bed. And how many sins of the heart? Archbishop Usher calculated that during a man's life it came to several billion. And he was speaking, you see, of the reality of the human heart. But here is the mighty Saviour who delivers from these things. To make an end of sins. An end of sins. This is, of course, in its final consummation at the Lord's return. But you know, the devil is bound today. The devil is limited today. The Lord Jesus said, "Whatsoever shall be bound on earth shall be bound in heaven." And the devil is bound today. He can only go so far. He can only go so far. And he only is allowed to go as far as the Lord allows him to go. So the devil does not reign. Here, Mr. Kent speaks of this in his hymn. Hark, how the blood-bought hosts above conspire to praise redeeming love in sweet harmonious strains. And while they strike the golden lyres, this glorious theme each bosom fires, that grace triumphant reigns. Grace till the tribes redeemed by blood are brought to know themselves and God, her empire shall maintain. To call when he appoints the day, and from the mighty take the prey, shall grace triumphant reign. Grace triumphant does reign, because the Lord is calling his people to himself. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Notice he was looking forward. He was looking for that day. But he's laying clearly what must be This is what the Messiah, the Saviour, must be. Now many have come and declared themselves the Messiah. Many have come and declared themselves the Son of God. Even in the 20th century, such people made such claims. They were all false. And the scripture speaks of these people. But here we can see, this is what the true Messiah would accomplish: to make reconciliation for iniquity. Daniel knew the total depravity of mankind. He knew the depravity of the human heart. And he knew that a reconciliator to be brought back, to be reconciled, was necessary. And here, this is what was to take place. Notice the certainty of it all. It's not doubtful, is it? It's certain. We might say that Daniel, he believed in the doctrines of grace, you know, he did, because he believed in the certainty of these things, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now that, friends, can be taken in respect of not only his first advent, but also his second. He brings in everlasting righteousness because his people are secure. They can't be lost. But at the final day, there will be no more sin. And that great resurrection was the, it marked the victory, the eternal nature of this victory. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. If you notice, the marginal reference to that is here, to that particular verse, is the 1 Mark and 24. It's a quite remarkable statement here. The scribes and the Pharisees saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art." Here was the confession that the scribes and the Pharisees made under fear. And it makes reference to this scripture. The Holy One of God. He knew, didn't he? He knew. To anoint the most holy. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," the Lord said. This is it. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The straight wall shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times." Now, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. What is this 70 weeks? What is this 70 weeks? Well, there is great speculation about what these 70 weeks are. And I must say, friends, today, I don't think I've ever read so many commentaries and writings by those of whom I've disagreed with, and some whom I have a great deal of time for. But you see, many make the mistake here, in respect of these 70 weeks, of calculating 70 times 7 and coming up to 490 years. And so on. And the problem is, there is a great deal of debate about when these 490 years began. Whenever we interpret scripture in that way, we will find ourselves with problems. These 70 weeks here are speaking of a period of time. It's a period of time. And this period of time here is broken down for us. Now, why is that? Well, in the direct context that Daniel was speaking, he was to prophesy the rebuilding of the temple in the biblical context. There will not be a rebuilding, a future rebuilding of the temple. This was the rebuilding that was to take place during the time of Nehemiah. In that biblical period, and it speaks here of the troublous times. The troublous times. Now, we read in verse 25, and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. We have here 7 weeks, and we have 62 weeks, that is 62 weeks. This first 7 weeks is speaking of the troubles and the time of the rebuilding of the temple at Jerusalem. And the 62 weeks, I believe, to represent the time between the Old and the New Testament. That is the traditional accepted amillennial position of which I would hold. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Now here, we must make an observation. And I say it particularly those of you of whom have to go into the working world, into the colleges and universities, and you'll meet people that spend a great deal of time upon this chapter. And they will tell you that at the end of the 69th week, that the era of prophecy has frozen. And that the parenthesis, which we are now allegedly living in, has begun. Friends, that is not true. That is not accurate. All of the things which we have read of here, which the Saviour has accomplished, is complete. All of these things here are complete. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. The 70th week here is spoken of as that 1 week in verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. You see, friends, there's only one covenant. There's only one covenant. There's not two covenants. There is only one covenant. And here we can see that in AD 70, the temple was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his resurrection power, has achieved all for the church. There's not going to be any future a rebuilding of the temple or a future kingdom in that sense. And he shall confirm the covenant, verse 27, with many for 1 week. And he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. You see, that 70th week confirms that better covenant. It confirms that greater covenant. All the Old Testament prophecies of the gospel going to the Gentiles would be fulfilled, and it would be fulfilled here. Would be fulfilled here. When the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished," and the we can see that he broke down that wall of partition. He broke down that separation. Israel, of course, been that type of the church. These things came to Daniel in a vision. What a thing it must have been to realize these things. Now, has he prophesied these things to the Jews? They saw them, didn't they? But they only saw them in the types and in the shadows. But then the Lord Jesus came. And every single one of these during his life and ministry was fulfilled and was complete. And now we can look back upon these things that are found in here. And we can see each of these six accomplishments which were mentioned in verse 24 have all come to pass, every single one of them. You see, that 70th week that we read of in verse 27 is inclusive of the Lord's advent, life and resurrection. It has to be that way. Why? Because we have to ask ourselves this question. We come here, we worship, we preach, we sing the hymns. And do we worship a God that is defeated? Do we worship a God that cannot save? Or do we worship a God who has achieved all for his church? Who has removed the wall of partition? Who has made a way for his people? Who has made an end of sins? And has brought in everlasting righteousness? Well, we've but scratched the surface. I would like to have gone on longer with those verses, but time does not permit. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.